Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, haunted Wisconsin. Maybe it's just the circle of people I grew up around. Maybe it's just the physical location and everyone having common paranormal experiences. Whatever it is, talk of ghosts around the state of Wisconsin is a common thing. It's not as taboo a topic as it feels in other areas of the country. As a child, I'd regularly check out books from the local library about haunted Wisconsin, and I would ask teachers, friends, or really anyone who would listen about their ghostly experiences. On today's episode of The Grave Talks, we discuss several of Wisconsin's haunted locations, as well as a few others in surrounding states, with Craig Nearing of Fox Valley Ghost Hunters. We'll talk about the Farr Elementary School, just outside of Wisconsin in Iowa. It was shuttered in 2001. Many believed that the spirits of the children long gone still run the halls in fear of a principal once shrouded in dark allegations. We'll also discuss the Vasilla Axe Murder House, another nearby haunting. It's a home where children met their ultimate demise at the hands of a madman's axe many years ago. Why do their spirits still infest this property? Then join us for part two, a Gravekeeper exclusive, which you can listen to at patreon.com/thegravetalks. We will discuss demonic forces in a church. In Wisconsin sits a church called St. Joseph. It's no longer a functioning house of worship. In fact, it now holds relics of other people's things. Some believe it also holds the spirits of former parishioners, as well as a dark force that never walked this earth in human form and lurks in its dark corridors. Why would something so evil haunt a place once believed to be so holy? This is a place that I actually visited last year and had no idea of its haunted past. I took several pictures and walked the halls of this building, and it truly was a haunting experience. We'll discuss what I felt there, as well as truly horrific and dark stories surrounding this property. Also in part two, the Grand Opera House in downtown Oshkosh, Wisconsin, a theater that to this day holds up to its grand name. It also holds the spirits of those who once cared for it through its almost century of existence. And we'll also talk about a haunted winery in Algoma, Wisconsin, known as Von Steele. We'll discuss my personal experiences there with my family, unexplained activity that occurred while recording there one day. Also, who may be still part of the winemaking process from the other side. All that and more on today's episode of The Grave Talks. Craig, I first want to ask you, why is it, do you think, that Wisconsin is known for so many ghosts?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. When we wrote one of our books, Wisconsin's Most Haunted, Volume 2, my co-author, Enid Cleaves, she actually found a lot of information online stating that Wisconsin was indeed one of the most haunted states. I'm not certain if that's because of the massive American Indian burial grounds that are all over the state, or it seems like every city, or at least almost every city in Wisconsin, has some type of haunting or something going on.
Why do you think that is? Why is Wisconsin? I mean, it's not like it was, you know, one of the original 13 colonies, which that's what I would almost always assume, just because it's right there. It has a longer history in terms of, you know, colonization by you know, Europeans. But that's where my mind goes to. So why Wisconsin? Why would Wisconsin have such a history like that with hauntings?
Yeah, not exactly sure. I don't know. Maybe it's because all us folks over here eat so much cheese and we die so young, we all become ghosts. I don't know.
It's an interesting thing to think about. When we talk about hauntings, and quite often we end up talking about areas where there's high levels of activity, Native Americans are involved in that conversation because there is a very high concentration of burial grounds all over the state. Would you say that maybe has something to do with it?
I would think so. I mean, just the property up at Summer Wind that we investigate throughout the years, we just recently found out that there might be burial grounds at the end of the, close to the end of the driveway. And there was an expert that went up there to try to distinguish that. And they believe they found a proof that it might be indeed true. So they seem to be popping up all over the place.
It almost leads one to think that almost all of the state is one giant burial ground when it comes down to it, just with the years and years of the Native American people living there and living their lives, generations, hundreds of years, thousands of years. And so that would lead one to almost, you know, go that way. I've heard very similar things about Mackinac Island as well, where you're more likely to hit a body when digging than not, depending on where you're trying to dig. That could almost be argued for the state of Wisconsin as well, I would think.
Oh yeah, definitely. Actually, two spots I've just been told about or not been known about for a while. We do a investigation in Wisconsin Rapids at a haunted school called First Ward, and they had a cemetery that was originally in the backyard that they had moved. The state moved it to the other side of town, but while they were putting in one of the streets, they came across some coffins while working on the street.
When that sort of thing happens, and they think they're moving it. Now, number one, that I think would be a good cause for disturbance in general. But number two, how often do things like that happen where they're going to do construction on something and they think they're getting it all, but records at a certain point are not so great? How often do we have neighborhoods in that state that are sitting there on either burial grounds or just cemeteries that are long forgotten?
Yeah, quite a bit, actually. There's so many, and then a lot of the graves don't even have stones or tombs marking them. I know there's a place up that was built. In Appleton, there's a semi truck driving school that was built around an old cemetery. Now, if you walk out there, they have little signs saying, you know, the cemetery was here, but there are no gravestones. But everybody knows the bodies are still there. But, you know, who knows where they're exactly at? So I suppose when doing landscaping or building a house or building a road or through a part that might have been an old cemetery, if the gravestones were never really marked there, you're going to come up across something like that.
Especially if they're using things that weren't so permanent, like wood and such, to mark those graves.
Or nothing.
Or nothing at all, exactly. Yep. We just know that Uncle Joe is right over there, and then generations pass, and nobody knows who Uncle Joe ever was. Let's talk about, you have a new book coming out, I know, with some locations in that you're going to be focusing on, and there's many I want to talk about from some of your previous books. But give us a taste, give us your top, you know, three or four locations in the new book that really have stood out to you that you want to share some of the history of and what you found.
Sure. Well, the book is called Archives of a Ghost Hunter. It's actually in proofreading right now, so it's almost complete. So I would give it early part of September by the time it's out. Some of the best locations in there, one that we've gone to so many times, is Farrar, the haunted school over in Iowa, owned by Jim and Nancy Oliver. We've been there 14 times. We're going back. Actually, we're going back again the end of this month. We're doing a shoot with Gavin Kelly, who has Phantasmic Journey.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard of them.
Sure.
Sure. So we're going back there in August or the end of August. Then we'll be back down there in November doing an event for guests to come down and investigate with us. But that by far has been our gemstone for hauntings, where you hear the pitter patter of little footsteps of the kids running across the gymnasium, EVPs from one of our investigators sneezing, and an EVP comes across saying, "Bless you." So just an amazing place with noises. We've never been disappointed at that place.
Tell me more about the school, about what was its history? How did it start? What do you know about its history when it was an operating school?
There's no really report of the death, but of course, again, there is a cemetery right across the street, and it seems like wherever there seems to be a cemetery, there's some type of activity close by. As far as the school goes, the only reports of anything out of the normal was that the principal, this is hearsay and rumors, but they were brought into us by former students, that the principal did some very not so nice stuff to his students, and supposedly might have taken advantage of one of the girls in the bathrooms, but that's just, again, that's hearsay.
Sure. How long ago was this place in operation?
It ended in 2001, as far as the school goes, as far as they closed the doors for good then.
Mm-hmm.
Just because everybody was kind of bound up in that same school, so they wanted to make a bigger school somewhere else.
When there's the stories of these allegations and stuff, how far does that go back? I'm assuming quite a ways?
Quite a ways, yeah.
Okay.
When we used to, we don't like to provoke spirits, we never have. We want to treat them, nice. That way you hope to get nice responses back rather than pissing the ghosts off like you see in a lot of the TV shows. But we'll sometimes say, I think the principal's coming. Can you hide or something? You better hide in a locker. Well, one night we were talking about the principal, and I fell asleep because I had a long day, but we had two of my investigators. They've been on the team quite a while, and that night the lockers were slamming back and forth for about 15 minutes. They were so scared they didn't even want to leave the room.
It's very bizarre. When you have something like that where it's not a murder, not a suicide, not anything like that, but trauma that is allegedly to have occurred at some point in the many, many years of that school's existence. And that seems to be a trigger point, the topic of that trauma. Why do you think that is? I mean, if it's not someone that was murdered or died there, if it is someone who had simply passed on in their life due to whatever, life circumstances would be, do you think they went back to that school? Why would a spirit go back to a school where trauma occurred? Or is it more of an energy type thing? This is just an opinion question.
Sure. I've been asked that a lot, actually, why, if there's no trauma, if there's even no trauma and there's nothing that, can pertain to anybody passing away in the place that we investigate, why would they be there? I think that was maybe possibly where they were the most happiest. They were around their friends, around, maybe they just enjoyed going to that school, so they want to hang out with maybe their friends are all there. Maybe for them, that was their meeting place.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.